This conference will
about Sue's book. Sue wrote a book called Selling It Softly. And just to give you a little bit of background, and Sue does that in her book, she talks about her story. And I'll just kind of paraphrase it quickly because we could go on and on about what she did in her life. But her experience was not very different from many of ours in terms of, you know, going forward trying to find something to do. She had three young boys at home, I think she had a two-year-old and two twins, so she had three of them under the age of two. And she just knew that she wanted more in her life, and she said she wanted to have everything. She wanted to have everything for her boys, and we all go through that, I think, as women, especially when we have kids. We want the best, and I'm not saying men don't feel that way as well, but usually right out of childbirth, it's a woman that has the most connectiveness, and men have the least, but it's we want the best. We want the best for our kids. We want to have. So this is part of what Sue's why was. I mean, it was something inside her that just triggered that she knew life could be better, and she knew she didn't want to have restrictions or restraints in her life, and she wanted to have, you know, the best she could for her kids. And they were living at that time in their life, they were living in a 900-square-foot condominium, which you can imagine would be awful small for three boys and two adults. But these were still babies at the time. But she said she just knew she had to go out there and find something better. She she found out early too that wanting something is very different between working for something. I mean, you can want something and it'll never happen in your life. And I think that's a great concept for some of us on this call, because some of us have wanted a great Manatech business for years, but have we done the right things to work for it and make it happen? That's the next question. How can we be better? And that means we just keep our green and growing. We just keep working on being better and doing things differently until we achieve the results that we are striving to achieve. But it's working for it. And one of the things that she found too, you know, modeling is a powerful way of teaching. So she learned a lot from her parents, but she also learned from her mother that the first thing you must do is you must believe in yourself. And I loved how Sue integrated personal development throughout her entire book, because she recognized that that's the crucial part of what this is all about. In fact, the education through direct sales is not so much about selling as much as it is about developing yourself. And that's really why direct sales has been viewed by many famous authors as one of the most incredible business opportunities on the face of the earth, because it develops you as a person. And part of that development is believing in yourself. And I know a lot of you have stepped into Manatech and perhaps didn't have a strong belief in yourself for one reason or another. And a lot of it is baggage we collected when we were young. But it's something you got to get over. You got to get beyond that point. And for me, I didn't really have a issues around that. But I honestly look at, you know, for me being a Christian, looking at God created me in His image. So if I don't believe in myself, I'm not believing in Him. And just chew on that for a while. If you come from that spiritual walk or whatever spiritual walk you have, this, you know, you are a unique, incredible human being in and of yourself, and it's about, you know, it's just about fulfilling what's set forth for you in your life. I mean, what is your purpose here, and go out and really fulfill that. But you got to believe in yourself. You got to start with that, because that's when a lot of things fall into place for you. Without belief in yourself, it's going to be very hard for you to attract people to believe in you as their leader. It's going to be very hard for people to learn to believe in themselves when you don't believe in your own self. So that's where it starts, and it was a great comment by her in her book that's the first step. You got to believe in yourself. She went through a lot of things in her life. Just like I said, she represents her reflection of her life. It really reflects all of our lives. She stepped out and tried, you know, college friends got her into this and set aside this, and she got into different businesses this way and that way and everything. But the beautiful thing about Sue's attitude is it never changed. And clearly when you have failures in your life, and all of her businesses failed, every aspect she started failed. And she just said her business failures increased her want to the point that she was really ready to work. In other words, the more she failed, the more her desire grew on, I'm really ready to do whatever it takes. It also humbled her to know that she needed to follow directions and not try to do it all on herself. So her failures were phenomenal growing points. And I think all of us need to understand that each step of the way. And sometimes our failures are multiple failures doing Manatech. I mean, we could have failed and tripped and fallen many times in our process of attempting to do Manatech, but those are the things that should make you stronger, not make you weaker. And we sometimes get discouraged, and we allow trips and falls to cause us to be weaker, and that is not very effective for any of us. So the idea is, like, you know, build on the failures, build on the things that don't work for you. And, you know, it's so incredibly character building to do that. So, and she's talked about learning the business, learning to manage yourself, learning the difference between managing results and leading people. That was a big, huge understanding that she had to go through, because the reality is that if you want to maintain control of your life and control of your calendar and your time, you really need to learn how to manage yourself, and you need how to understand how to lead people in a way to allow them to achieve the same results that you're achieving. So crucial for her. And I liked her other comment she made. I put it in the outline. Direct sales is more than having a business. It's more than doing a business. It's about getting business. And that's what we need to continue to focus on, because some of us focus on getting consumers instead of getting business. We need to find people that have similar goals in life and drives to really want something bigger. Because I haven't found anyone yet that I have met in my entire life who didn't want something bigger than what they already had. And it's not about greed. It's about, because what we do with the money that we get is very dependent on who we are. And I always believe that when people get more money in their life, it just causes them to be more of who they already are. So people who get a lot of money and start charitable foundations and go off and do things, that's because that's who they were to start with. People who get money and they buy tons of things, that's who they were to start with. And when you're very materialistic and that's what you want, you're going to show up that way when you make millions of dollars. If you have a heart and passion to help others and servant's heart, yeah, that's what you're going to show up with when you make millions of dollars. It doesn't change the person. It just more the person comes out. So let's talk about the next. She got into kind of the three phases. She talked about phase one, two, and three in terms of, you know, her business. She saw her business in three distinct phases, and during each phase, she made new decisions that caused her to move on to the next phase and open up new opportunities for her. In her first phase, she talked about was getting started, and I kind of laughed about this because really the getting started phase, and she even emphasized it for herself, is something you do over and over again. A lot of us have gotten into the getting started phase 5-10 times in our own Manatech businesses, and I know that for me, the trials and tribulations around the Texas AG and the things that happened to us sometimes put us in a setback mode, and we had to get re-geared up again. And so this is not something that you should look at and say, oh, my gosh, I've tried this so many times. What was fun for me with Sue's book is that she was in Pampered Chef. I mean, she was like the queen of Pampered Chef. She was like the first woman to reach all the highest levels in Pampered Chef and built a multi-million-dollar business in Pampered Chef. But the incredible thing about her direct sales experience was that she found herself consistently having to have to go back to that getting started mode, because, you know, you get glum, things happen, you get into a slump, and then you got to start over. You kind of got to get back into, hey, let's get back to the basics. Let's kick yourself out of the slump, and you do this over and over again. So it's not something that's unique to us in Manatech because of the slumps we may have had in or outside of our lives, in our control or out of our control. But the idea is that it's just get used to that concept that getting started is something that everybody goes through. And we reconnect, we go back and reconnect with associates and our customer base. We revisit the basics of what direct selling is all about so that we get rejuvenated from that. And some of the best books out there, Kiyosaki has some great books. And I'm telling you, just there's some awesome materials out there today, people, that we didn't have 10 years ago that just are incredible to help you stay on track and get you remotivated. And of course, so does a manifest or ManaQuest is a great way to get back and reboot, and then reboot your own personal motivation. That's what I said, the reboot your own motivation, and that's why we go to these conventions and we participate in activities with Manatech, road shows and whatever. But everybody goes through that. We're not the only one, and then you get back into your active stage. Green and growing is phase two. It's kind of like putting your butt on the line. She says you got to get more intentionality around it. So, you know, one of the things that happened in Sue's life that really created a difference was her husband decided that he wanted to really go back and he didn't want to stay in his corporate job. He wanted to be an elementary school teacher. Well, we all know that what elementary school teachers make, and supporting a family of three children and two adults isn't really something you can do extremely well with one's income from school teacher. So she just right away, that just increased her level of intent. She knew right away that all of a sudden the family was going to be more dependent on her income than her husband's income, and he wanted to go back to school, so she also had the school time. So that caused her to really start looking at herself as becoming a breadwinner. And so I call it put your butt on the line. That's just my languaging. And it really is about making that difference. And people, we stay on fences when we know we can. Does that make sense? I think some of you in Manitech, the business, you're staying on a fence, you're lingering on that fence because you know you can. In other words, there's no risk because your husband or your spouse is making enough money, or you think you have Social Security coming in, or you think you have enough assets here or there. And the reality is I was working with at a conference this weekend where they had a retirement calculator, and it was amazing. No matter how much money you had in there and what income you're earning, and you looked at, okay, if I want to retire at this age, what does my life look like? And it says you run out of money in 5 years, or you run out of money in 10 years, or you run out of money in 6. It was amazing how this retirement calculator worked. It was just, it really showed up big time about how we think we are secure for some reason. And building alternative streams of residual income is just one of the most awesome ways of tackling that issue, because then it's not dependent on your hours and your time, and it's not dependent on the income you make off the money you already have stashed away. Because we know that the money you already have stashed away, if we haven't experienced one thing over the last few years with the huge 2008 downfall where the market crashed, we know we saw a lot of our 401ks become 101As, as people say, but the idea is that if you put it between your mattress, it's going to go away too because of the inflation rate. So you're going to lose no matter what. So the idea is that we don't look at our money that we have and dependent on the 1 or 2% interest we're making in the banks these days. We have to find alternative income sources. And that's exactly what she went through. And she said, you know, we've got to do that. We've got to be wiser about our time. Where are we spending our time? And she got very clear on that. And we're going to talk about where to spend your time in phase three. But the idea is to get wiser about your time. So many of us linger on the internet, and we waste so much time. And it's, you got to stop doing that. You need to recruit with more intention. In fact, that's sometimes we go out there and we just kind of put half of our heart into it. No, this isn't a half-hearted business. This is a full-heart business. So put your all into it. Tie yourself to that. And some of you go, well, but Mary Jo, then if I do that, I tie myself to the results and I get into depression if the person says no. I said, are you kidding me? I said, you tie 100% of yourself into it because it doesn't matter whether the person says yes or no. What matters is that you're impacting lives. Now, your goal is to get people to say yes, but what they do and what's for their life isn't something that should control your emotional status. I love sharing about health. I love talking about the crisis of our foods today and how we're poisoning ourselves. In fact, I'm so excited about it. I told Lydia, I said, you know what? I want to start writing a health newsletter. Here's an idea for some of you. Once a week, I'm doing a health newsletter, and it's about current health topics. So last week, I wrote on the McDonald's, The Happy Meal That Isn't So Happy was the title of my newsletter. Isn't that fun? And you know what? Because I don't mention Manitech at all in any of my health newsletters, I can talk about disease. I can talk about all sorts of things. Because it's not about Manitech. It's just an educational piece that I send out to people who are prospects, people who have expressed interest in health, people who I've done consultations with that maybe never started on the products, and people that are in my Manitech business who want to be a part of it. But it doesn't talk about Manitech products ever. It just talks about what's going on. I want to talk about this week, I'll probably talk about the new study out there on using hormones, you know, Primpro and these hormone replacement therapies that now they've really drawn a direct connection to cancer and breast cancer. Isn't this amazing, ladies? Yeah. Anyway, so and we had the 2001 study already, but I don't want to get off track on the book, but I'm just telling you that, you know, be passionate about what you're doing. Be smart about what you're putting out there and have some intentionality about what you're trying to achieve. And part of my desire around that health newsletter is to connect with people so they really get educated. They don't just read something in a paper and blow it off. They find out really the nuts and bolts behind it. So it becomes real to them, not just one little blip in their life. So make your goals more measurable. This is what you did, and we all know that we have formal written goals, and we've been harping on that for ages. Organize more effective team meetings. Have more frequent team meetings. Focus more. And notice the word team. You're on a team. Don't do this solo. It was one of my big mistakes that I tended towards, although I did work with teams a lot in the early stages with my upline. But, lawyers tend to be solo practitioner types. You know, they're out there on their own. And so I had to grow into learning the importance of teams. Focus more on what people want rather than what you want. And that's just more of Michael Oliver in Natural Selling. If you haven't gotten that one down, you need to really get that down. So it's what other people need, not what you need. And that's phase two, green and growing. And then phase three for her became the one where it's all about duplication, intentional duplication. Help build teams to have expectation of success. Because so many of us just, you know, we build teams, but we don't understand the psychology of the team is the psychology of the team members. So you got to help everybody have that same expectation of success. Where do you spend your time when you talk about managing your time? Well, as you get into that intentional duplication phase, you spend your time with people who are investing in themselves. So if people aren't making the investment in themselves and they're not growing, green and growing, then you know what? You're done. Next. You go, next. And I have people in my downline like that. They'll come to me and they'll say, Mary Jo, I want to get coached. I want to do this. And I go, great. So we start a coaching program. They don't show up. I stop coaching. In fact, one of my prerequisites for my weekly coaching calls is that you have to send in a weekly activity tracker. If you don't do the weekly activity tracker, you don't get coached. Notice, invest in those who invest in themselves. So even though some of these people are like best friends of mine that I've been working with for years, if they're not willing to do that, I'm not willing to dedicate my time because they're not serious about doing the business. How many people are you investing in today that aren't serious about their business? Good question. Answer that, and you'll get investing your time in the right places. Build a balance between teaching skills and building independence. In other words, what's crucial here is that you learn how to build what? You learn how to build independence and empowerment instead of what? Enabling. And that's really crucial. Some of us get so skillful and we get so knowledgeable that we just want to promote our knowledge and skills out there and make everybody like look up to us, and that's the worst thing you can do. Because then they look up to you to do everything, so you'd have to. They feel incapable. You're enabling them, and you're making them feel that they're incapable, and that never will work. This business is about growing others. You want everybody you sign up to become Platinum Presidential before you do. So if you look at it that way, how are you going to interact with that person differently? Yeah. And enjoy giving recognition. You want to make sure that you're giving recognition to people so that you're always honoring them and you know, whether it's the monthly who's my top enroller, whatever it is, it's always about recognition. I don't know any major presidential that doesn't have a huge recognition program that they go by. Okay, so that's kind of basic stages. Now, and like I said, what Sue did is she was in Pampered Chef, and she became the top in Pampered Chef right out of the box. And it didn't take her, she said it took her 10 years to get to six-figure income. I think that's a statement about Manitech's compensation plan. She was the top leader in all of Pampered Chef, and it took her 10 years to make six-figure income. So think about how fast people are making six-figure income in Manitech. I mean, we have some Koreans and some South Africans that made it in 6 months. You know, it's crazy. We have Jet, who made it in 8 months, and he was left for the first presidential associate. But we have a lot of people out there that have done this very quickly in Manitech, and in a reasonable time period is 2 to 3 years. I think 10 years, that's not, people can be on a 10-year plan, and that's okay, but it's how much time and energy you're going to put into it and how, you know, how you fine-tune yourself as you go along the way. How educable are you and how green and growing are you at each step of the way? Okay, so let's talk about the art of selling. She talked about the art of selling in a people business. Part of the art is connecting with people. In fact, it's the main part of the art, and we're all about connecting with people. So what do we need to do differently to start being a better connector? And so start looking at yourself and saying, what is that all about? And And we talk about insecurities we have. Well, if you're insecure, you're judgmental about people, are you going to be a good connector? Absolutely not. This is where your self-development comes in a huge way. So you want to look at what are the things that are constraining you and holding you back with connecting with people. Because if they look a certain way, if they don't wear makeup, if their hair is a certain way, if they're wearing funny clothes, if they have tattoos, if what all those things are, we have preconceptions about people that we just got to let go of all that stuff and start loving on people no matter what they look like. In fact, I get almost to the extreme sometimes when I'm out. I look for the craziest looking people because they to me are out there. They don't have a lot of hang-ups. I mean, a person that walks around on the street that looks really crazy, they're not really like showing they're very inhibited, are they? So that's a kind of a fun way of looking at it and a different way of looking at it. But I'm not suggesting that because you're going to get some strange responses too. But it's the idea is that we got to get over ourselves. And she made a statement in there, you must also show up to be one person. And who is that person? That person is you. And that's what you got to learn to be is you. And you can choose how that you is going to look, right? But it's got to be you. There's got to be a consistency. We make choices about ourselves. We make choices. That's why we go through self-development work, is that we can fine-tune and hone in some skills and characteristics in us. You know, I always loved it. I think I've told the story to you guys so many times that when Lydia said, well, I need to spend some time just finding out who I am. And I started laughing. I mean, I kind of giggle because I say to myself, you know, and I didn't laugh at her. I laughed with her. I just said, Lydia, you are who you choose to be. I mean, it's hilarious. She had to look. When she first started working for me 5.5 years ago, 6 years ago, I know a lot of you will find it hard to recognize this, but she didn't like people. I mean, you know, was that who Lydia was? Well, that was who she was choosing to be at that stage of her life, but who has she transformed into? Incredible. She loves helping people, supporting people. I mean, every once in a while you see a little tweak of that, but boy, oh boy, what a total transformation. But that's choosing who you are. But the important thing is that you show up who you are. If you don't like some of the aspects, then make some choices to make some differences. But be you. Don't pretend out there, because that will show through. The art of selling, what customers want and need, that's, and again, getting back to Michael Alver, natural selling, you're meeting the needs of another person. This is a need fulfillment business, so we're in the business of what? Inspiring customers connect with the life-enhancing benefits of what we have to offer. That's a great quote from her book. We're in the business of inspiring customers connect with the life-enhancing benefits of what we have to offer. So you want to make the buying experience personal. She did a comparison of what a product demonstrator is compared to a sales professional. A product demonstrator focuses on product, and a sales professional focuses on people. Some of you are going to go, man, this is me, Mary Jo. I'm the product demonstrator. I emphasize the features. A sales professional emphasizes what I call benefits. She used the word feelings, but that's the benefits because it personalizes. What is it going to do for you? It's great that we have an organic skincare line. I mean, botanical, 30 botanicals. I shouldn't say, don't mean to say organic skincare. We have a very natural skincare line. It's not 100% natural, but it's got tons of botanicals in it. It's based on glyconutrient technology, the only one in the field that's based on a glyconutrient technology. You know, it has incredible minerals in it and these glycos to help the cells. And, of course, the skin is the largest organ you can go on. But all of those are great. They're features. But what does it do for me? I mean, you've got to talk about what does it do for me? Well, 60% of what you put on your skin is absorbed in the body, so it's feeding your body. What do you want to feed your body? So what is it going to do for you? It's going to help you stay healthy because instead of putting stuff on your body that's poisoning your body, you're putting stuff on your skin that's helping support the body. See, you can start talking about those are the benefits. Now you're getting the feelings. You talk about poisoning the body versus feeding the body. You just see the emotion starts getting into it and how it matters, not what the product can do, but how it matters to you. Possibilities your customer may never have considered. She went through these 9 in the book, and I think they're really good because what you're trying to do is in the process, you're trying to open up the possibilities of the person of what they may not have, what may not have been considered by them. You want to illustrate for them things that are, you know, outside what they've thought about. Because if you don't make people think, they're probably not going to move unless they already came to you with a conclusion they needed to buy supplements. So there's something that's going to have to be triggered in them that's going to cause them to make a shift. Because otherwise, all you're doing, if what you're doing is, well, Mary Jo, I just want to go out there and find people who say, this is exactly what I need because that's what I've been looking for. Well, that's not 90% of the people you're going to, 99% of the people you're going to associate with. Most of them, you're going to have to get them to think. You're going to have to get them to do something different, because if they already had made a commitment to be on supplements, they'd already be on them. So you're saying, well, then my job is to compare our supplements to theirs. Well, that could be what you're doing as well, but you want to get a greater conviction on their hearts, because one of the reasons they're taking the supplements they are is they haven't done enough research in the industry or don't have enough knowledge. So you want to find out what that is about what floats their boat. And with people who you're trying to get involved in the business, you got a lot more things to talk about, which have to do with, you know, money and time and what does their life look like. And one of my favorite comments I like to make to people is, you know, when they start talking to me about different things in their life, they go, well, Mary Jo, I don't know if I really have time to do this. I said, what does your life look like 12 months from now or 2 years from now? How are things going to be different for you? And they go, if you don't do something different, your life's not going to be different. It's that definition of insanity again. If you keep doing what you've always been doing, you're going to continue and expect different results. That's the definition of insanity. So the idea is that I think you can just ask them, what does your life look like 2 years or 5 years from now? How is it going to be any different for you? What are you going to do differently? You got to do something different to create different results. So what can these be? It can be a desire to save more money, save more time, feel appreciated. You know, this business gives you an incredible sense of being appreciated. I feel appreciated every morning I do a Monday call because I know you guys appreciate my sharing whatever it is that we share on these Monday calls. You know, it's to realize a dream. What is your dream? I've been able to realize dreams of putting a foundation together, you know, building financial security for my kids, being able to invest in my kids' businesses. So, you know, I look back at Hugh's two daughters, who are my stepdaughters, and their husbands, and both of their husbands I have significantly financially invested in to allow them to be entrepreneurs and own their own businesses. What a blessing. Neither of my stepdaughters' husbands have a quote-unquote job. They work for themselves. And if I wouldn't have had Manatech as a vehicle for income stream, I couldn't have made those investments to give them the freedom to do that. And so it's great to see that those are dreams that you have. The need to belong, the need to feel in control, the need to connect. These are needs. In fact, I would suggest you take all nine of these and kind of develop them for yourself and see for yourself how you can best communicate those to other people, dig out and find out whether these are needs that people have. That list on that page two of the outline is hugely important for you guys to really, really look at how people will react and how you can get in there. Because even take the need to belong. I mean, few people will ever admit that they'd like a stronger sense of belonging. But for most of us, there's a real need that we matter. We want to matter. We want our lives to be something that matters. So those are things that are interesting, but not necessarily something that's easy to communicate nor to delve into. But they're important for you to understand that these are some of the driving forces or motivating forces within your customer base or within your prospect base. So you need to consider those things. What you sell and why it matters, 4 questions to refresh your thinking about the products you sell. And this gets into a lot of this is like the feature benefit kind of things that we talk about as well. But it's very important. Features are facts which describe what a product is and what it does. And we've got Ambritose Plus, Vitamatrix. You know, we've got a lot of those down. The scientific studies give us the claims we can make, and those are important to utilize those because features are important. Facts are important. But benefits speak to the value a product has for that specific buyer. So that's really important for us to get that really clarity in that. So you start, you can, and notice that I put these 1, 2, 3, 4 because they're 4 questions that you need to really refresh yourself and reflect on about the products. You don't usually present them necessarily in this structure because you might find out a possibility, one of the 9 possibilities above of a person. So you might come at your approach from a totally different angle. If you know information about the person, you might come at that angle. If they just lost their job, you might come out with what? Instead of talking about features, you might jump right in to talk about the benefits. You know, the benefits. You know, what does it mean to you? What are these emotional benefits? What feelings is it going to create for you? That's what you might come out with. You might start with that. You know, because you want the person to feel convicted up front about the loss of a job is not a loss. It's really a gain in a way because it gives you the freedom to experience something new and different that might present to you this concept that you never have to worry about losing a job again because you're your own boss. So you get to really develop that. So depending on the person and what information you have about them, we don't know which one of those 4 that you're really going to start with. But you talk about features. What shape is it? What materials are made of? What is the size? What is smooth? You know, all these things. What those are features. We have features of our products. We have functional benefits, right? So what does it do? So functional benefits would be like the features of AmberToast would be, what is it? There are 8 essential saccharides. Is this cellular communication outside the cell? What are the functional benefits? The functional benefits are what? With AmberToast, what would you talk about? You'd talk about the functional benefits being that it gives you the parts of the cell. It completes the cell because these parts aren't, you know, they're not in our diet, right? And then so you can talk about the functional benefits of what they are, the features, what it is, the functional benefits. And again, don't get into too many specifics. Those of you who go off on a bandwagon and talk about the science of glycobiology for 25 minutes, you've already lost your person. They need to understand that you have a breakthrough technology that's changing the world called glycobiology. And the reason it's a brand new science that is now taught in every med school, and it's huge because it's about the core principle of how our body functions, how cells talk to each other, how they communicate. And AmberToast are those 8 simple monosaccharides, and you talk about that. What is it functional benefits? And then what feelings does it create? What emotional benefits does it create? Well, what feelings does it create is how is it impacting you? That's the benefit for you, the emotional benefits for you. The emotional benefits of a product can be what it can mean for you and your family and health and the future and the legacy you leave for your family about true health. Are you concerned about that? Are you committed? Are you convicted about being healthy and having your children healthy? A lot of times I go to children on the emotional benefits because a lot of parents care more about their kids than they do themselves. So work on that level as well. And now value, what makes it matter? That's the true value. And that's what are you going to create with this? Like, let's talk about the true value of the, you know, the emotional benefit is that you have now gotten rid of the concept of being able to be fired or something like that. You work for yourself. What is the value of that? Unlimited income. What are you going to be able to create with it in your life? So you look, you want to draw these 4 things out, and I think she did a great job of that, saying that your sales presentation needs to encompass all of these levels. And it's just, it makes it a softer presentation, I think, because it really gets out of being so harsh about just feature, which so many of us try to do just features. If you stick in features, you'll never get those closings. So if you find yourself wondering why you're not closing a lot of people, it's probably because you're not connecting with the people. And the connection with the people comes from the emotional benefits and the value more so than it does with the features. And yet we're really good at features because those are the easy things to memorize, but we're really bad at connection because we feel like we're intruding on people's lives or we're getting too close and personal. Well, that's up to you, but that's what makes the difference. It's a connection that causes people to make a difference in their life. Okay, so it's a softer, and then she talks about the softer style of selling. You're selling with people, not to people. The master of art is engaging your audience. So and think about it that way. I'm not selling to this person. I'm selling with the people. So it's with, you're with, use the terminology of with. Your experience with products is critical. And remember saying it softly, your experience about keeping it soft, not harsh, not tough. Meet your customer where they are, not in, as an expert, but an enthusiastic consumer. If you go out there and pretend you're the expert of all, they're going to have a tendency to look at you and say, I can't do that because I don't have that knowledge or I don't have that information. And then she made a comment, which I thought was kind of intriguing. She said, direct sales is less about finding prospects who need your products, more about building relationships with people who will lead you to others. So if you keep that in mind, you're, again, focusing on the right thing. How am I building relationships? You're focusing on connection, connectivity, because it's those people are going to lead you to other people leading you to other people. Can you build a business around just consumers? Yes. You can build a business around consumers. Will it take you 10 times as long? Yes. Because you're the only one that's going to be doing the business. Because you're just going out there and you're finding, and it's going to be dependent on who you know as consumers to take the products instead of who other people know. So the idea is that you want to build relationships with people that will lead you to other people. That's what's going to drive your business and be most effective. All right, so let's talk about the next chapter. Sorry, you guys, we had these numbered wrong. Do you notice? One, two, I have two twos in my outline. We'll correct that, but we're really on the fourth principle, which is big, big, big. And this is one of the parts of the books I really enjoyed a lot because, you know, so many times we talk about different issues, and then we talk about which we might be familiar with because we've seen them before. But she actually is giving us language. When she says saying it softly, she's now developing in this entire chapter, she talks about different languaging that we can use to soften our approach. And so let's go over some of those, and I'll try to give you some examples of them as best I can so that you can see it, but you can figure it out yourself as well. And she talks about what are some of the languages that we can actually use to help support us. And one of them, saying it softly, imagine. Now, if you're talking to somebody, you're going to be talking about get your customer to imagine what their life will be with your products. Create rich and colorful images, ideas, and possibilities. So that's very important for us to look at and say, how are we using that? And you can use it with the products in terms of what health. Imagine what your health could be like if you didn't have to XYZ. Imagine what your health would be like if you had your energy back. This is what I love to do. When you talk to people, and I know I use this sometimes, I would just say, can you imagine what your life would be like if you had your energy back? We have a family in our church today that's buying like $300 worth of products a month. They're on two separate automatic orders. They come out on their, every 2 weeks because they're trying to flow it with their paychecks and stuff. The whole family is totally changed because they had some issues around energy and part of that whole concept was imagine what your life would be if you had the energy back. Imagine what your daughter's life would be if she didn't have to, sleep 14 hours a day. You talk about those things. It brings in a personal connectiveness. So that's really important to talk about that. Imagine is a very powerful word because what does it do? It helps your customer picture herself living her life and enjoying your products and enjoying a different life. A lot of times we have to draw that out because people have lost their dreams. Now, you don't go, imagine if you owned a house in Tahiti. Now you're going really out there. So start softly. Start with something that's a possibility they can perceive. And that's why I think sometimes when we talk about people buying houses and all this kind of stuff, maybe that worked in the past. I don't find that that's really attractive. And it might be more attractive to somebody in their 20s. It's not going to be so attractive to somebody in their 50s who's already tried 100 things and nothing's worked for them. So let's start with something that's manageable for them to understand. I like this one. She wrote it in the book. Here's one. It says, imagine yourself smiling because you're saying, I get to go to work, not I have to go to work. Isn't that fun? Her comment, which I felt kind of fit our products too, it says, when you're selling an upper bracket product, which I think we do, often the higher the price, the greater the need for buyers to imagine themselves with your product. She made that statement. So see how that applies to Amber Toast and our products. All right, let's look at the second one. So everybody got the imagine down. And I even put in there something about the business and the outline. Imagine having a business generating thousands in residual income every month that you're going to be able to leave to your children, and then they can leave to their children. A lot of people don't understand that this is an asset that's just like a piece of real estate that you can leave to your legacy. It goes to family members. Okay, next point. So what? This doesn't mean so what. That's not what it is. It means you. It's so what? Like with a question mark after it, right? So it's going in a direction where you're actually asking some things. Your customer might think, so what? And you want to show how your product is relevant to her life. So what invites you to take a deep breath and build a bridge from hard features to some of the softer benefits of it? So you're going to be able to listen to their question and then respond in a way that you can help connect or transition from coming from your head to connecting with your heart. So what does that look like to you? It can be like this. So what that means to you is, so it's kind of like a way to connect your features and start talking about what the benefits are from the features. You're converting from features to benefits. So you can talk about what Ambertose is, features. Then you can talk about functional benefits, which are giving the saccharides back. So what that can mean to you is you're supporting your entire body to be able to be healthier, because you're giving the proper nutrients to the body that make up the cells. And if your cells are all healthy, then the body can't be anything but healthy. So what you can expect is, now again, you have to be careful, you can't do testimonials, but language on, you can expect to have greater energy or greater, you know, a greater positive attitude about life. You can feel like you can go out and start doing things again and working out and playing with those grandchildren on the floor and doing those kind of things. So what you'll hear yourself saying out loud is, what a wonderful life. So what you will discover is that working for yourself is a blessing beyond belief, since you now can choose and pick the time that you want to work and time you don't want to work. So what you're going to love is the ability to be around people as often as you want and support them in a way and really support your servant's heart in a way that you've never done before. So what you will start feeling is a sense of real purpose and direction in life. So those are just some examples of how so what can work for you. It's just a great way that you can start tying it in directly to your person. The example she used in her book is she said, our associates set their own hours. So what that means to me is that I don't have to sacrifice my life. My business complements my life. I can be there for the third grade play if I want to be, and I can even be the room mother if I want to be. So what would a flexible schedule mean to you? Are you following that? See how soft that is? It's just a softness about, you know, we love to throw the things at them, but we don't tie it into what it really means. So got it? So it's great. I think that, so what that means to you and what that can do for you and what your, all of those are so crucial for us because they really allow us to get into the heart of it. What that means to you, what you can expect, what you'll hear yourself saying out loud, what you will discover, what you're going to love is, what you will start feeling is. Those are all very terrific statements. I'm running out of time. Okay, next one, you may be thinking. That's another one she uses to try to, you know, get people to overcome, you know, what something might be there, to a concern that they might have. Or you may be thinking that this is, like, overwhelming, the science. But you know what? The reality is that you just need to know the few things that I've mentioned. You know, it's a breakthrough technology. It really doesn't take a lot of education to get there so that they don't get overwhelmed by the science area. If you see them glazing over, well, first of all, you know, you're talking too much and you're not getting them involved. But, you know, if you see a concern pop up, you want to be able to overcome that. You may be wondering if this is just like a pyramid scheme or something. But, you know, people say those things, and it's kind of rude because I think it's more based on people who really have had bad experiences around things that might have been fraudulent, but some of the best products in our country today are sold through direct sales. And Fortune 500 companies are using direct sales as a method of getting the products to the marketplace. You know, so you might do that. It's an intriguing thing. I don't usually like to bring up objections before people address them. So, but if I see a hesitation, I might be able to guess that. Next is your toughest choice. I think this is a great one, too, because it takes them out of the decision of whether or not to buy the products to which is your choice. Your toughest choice is going to be, am I going to buy an all-star pack or am I going to buy the consumer pack? That's going to be your toughest choice. And let me just talk to you about what that means. You get it? Isn't that a neat thing? It drives your party into a decision-making about which kit to buy instead of whether to buy or not. I remember a guy, Dennis Pequin from Canada, who was a presidential years ago, and he was so dynamic. I went to him and was training, and he said, what I tell people is, you know, when I first saw this, I was so overwhelmed by the opportunity presented that I bought 5 all-star packs, one for myself, my wife, and one for each of my 3 kids. So your toughest choice is going to be, are you going to buy 1, 2, or 4? I mean, how many are you going to buy? So he didn't even let him get out of the all-star, and you could do the same thing. Because our comp plan works so incredibly well that you really want to buy 3. So your decision is up front. Do you want to buy just 1 or do you want to start off with 3 and really get this business going? Some of you can't even conceptualize asking somebody to do that. But the reality is buying 3 All-Star packs today is almost like buying 1, you know, before we went to $4.99. We used to have 1,100 All-Star packs. So getting in 3 is really about $1,100 because they're going to get $75 back for each of the other 2 that they sell to or buy, right, for their family members. So that's $150 off of the $1,500. So now it's $1,350 they're paying. And we used to pay $1,100. So it's not really that much difference. But it's the best way to do it. So if you help people say whether you buy 3, just kick off or start with, or you're going to just start with 1, that's really your decision you're making here. Are you going to do 1, 2, or 3? That could be your toughest choice. What people tell me helps you share with customers, other customers' experiences. So what you'd say around that would be what my last associate told me. What I hear most often about this is, or what people tell me they appreciate, right? And you could say whether I'm chatting with someone who started or she could break the monotony of her full-time job, or I'm visiting with a retired school teacher who started so she could keep herself involved with people, they all seem to say the same thing. What I hear most often is that the business is more fun than they ever expected it to be. There you go. So isn't that fun? What I hear, that's a way of transferring information from other people. Have you thought about it invites people to stretch their thinking, much softer approach than the direct approach? Some of us want to say, well, you know what, supplements today are no longer optional. They're mandatory. Well, that's kind of direct. So an indirect approach or softer approach would be, have you thought about making a bigger commitment to the health of your family? If somebody hasn't thought about that, then they're probably not going to be interested in your products. But isn't that a soft way to say it? And so we can do that as well. Or have you thought about, you know, when you talk about business opportunity, you might say, have you thought about how much energy you would draw from lifting others with your presentations and these products? Have you thought about what you'd do with some extra money? Have you thought about how it would feel to pay off that bill or to set aside a little bit each month for that special vacation next year? Have you thought about, see, and again, softly. Oh, by the way, is your way of introducing that detail. I put in there that maybe, oh, by the way, could be, oh, by the way, we have 100% money-back guarantee on these products for up to 6 months. You know, you want to, if you're going to do, oh, by the way, did I tell you, if you want to use the oh, by the way, which is a softer way of bringing a point in, you want to make sure it's a feature that commonly creates a wow response. So you can add this feature at the end. Oh, by the way, did I tell you we have 100% money-back guarantee? I think oh, by the way is a great way of bringing that in. In fact, I highlighted this for myself to add, because, you know, I'm green and growing, I'm learning, and this book has given me a lot of ideas around that. So, oh, by the way, is yet another way of delivering or introducing a detail. If we could find a way, that's just a way that if somebody brings up an objection or they say something about their, it helps get put your heads together to find a solution. So somebody might say that you like the idea of earning a good income, but you're not sure you have enough time to make a business work. I understand. If we could find a way for you to take the 8 to 10 hours a week you said you had available and really make the most of that time, would you want to take a look at this? See, if we could find, it's a way, instead of telling people, oh my gosh, this only takes 8 to 10 hours, you got plenty of time, perfect, you'll be perfect for this business. Don't worry about that. See how insensitive that can be compared to, if we could find a way for you to take those 8 to 10 hours you say you have and be most effective with that time, would you want to take a look at this business? Very soft. If you are someone who, this is a huge one because everybody in the world wants to feel like they're somebody. No one wants to be just anyone. Everyone wants to be someone. So if you are someone who it makes an immediate connection with a person. If you're someone who's wondered how to really connect, know that nothing works as effectively as being you. That night I left with more recruiting leads than ever she had ever before because she said, if you're wondering about how to really connect. If you're someone who helps you position with your product, you know, you can say a lot. If you're someone who appreciates something, here's some of the language. If you're someone who appreciates, if you're someone who is known for, if you're someone who enjoys, if you're someone who enjoys serving others, this is your business. See, if you are someone who would like more income so that they could influence more people through charities and foundations, man, this is a business opportunity of a lifetime for you because of the nature of the residual income stream. You know, if you're someone who likes the idea of being your own boss, I invite you to think about doing what I'm doing. If you're someone who likes to have fun, well, next week I'm going to Atlantis. I mean, this business is a blast. Every year I've been on an incentive trip since the day I started, all over the world. We have a blast. We are about helping other people have fun, right? So that's what you can say. And then great choice is the last one. Your customer may just need a little bit of validation that she has made a great choice, right? So you want to validate. Great choice. You'll especially enjoy this during the upcoming season because great, like a weight loss, because people are everywhere trying to lose weight. Great choice. This is also one of my favorites. I love these products because of this, this, and this. You know, what choices they made. If they're doing a business, you can say, I'm really looking forward to working with you. I hope you're as excited as I am to see your business get off the ground. I know you've been thinking about this since you attended that meeting a few days ago, and from what I can tell, it wasn't an easy decision for you. You made a great choice to invest in your future and really to invest in yourself. I can see you doing very well at this business. Isn't that great language? You just make people feel, but you got to. We bypass that. It's about being soft. It's about touching people in a significant way. All right, people, so how do you start with all this great new soft languaging? You adopt one phrase at a time. This is her suggestion. Adopt one phrase at a time. Practice at home. Practice with coworkers. And then start buying into it and making it part of who you are. Don't try to grab onto all these at the same time because it won't work for you. But if you pick one that you really like a lot and you heard some great phrases, then let's run with it and re-listen to the call and you can re-listen to those phrases. But that's what it's about, selling softly. And I think Sue Rush did a great job. She's a terrific, she wrote this book in a terrific fashion to really help. I look at it as, you know, sometimes when I evaluate books, I look at it and I say, is this book somebody can read and really grow from? And it's a training book to me. I mean, because she gives you so many ideas and then she gives you suggestions and examples in every chapter. And at the end of the book, she even put discussion questions for each one of the chapters in the book. So Sue is great. She has a great book. She told me to tell you guys, let me ask Lydia. Lydia, are you still around? The email, what was her website? She said if people are interested in buying the books, that going to her website is probably a better deal for you because, I'm sorry? Oh, SueRush.com. Just use her name, SueRush.com, SueRush.com. And buying her book direct on her website is the way she suggested you do it because you'll get it shipped within 24, 48 hours, whereas Amazon takes a long time to get it. If you're interested in doing that or you're interested in just replaying the call, whatever suits your fancy. But I think these are great ideas, great concepts. You guys tell me, what's the feedback? Did you enjoy the call today? Did some of this move you a little bit? Anyone? To the extent we still have people, it's 5 after. No one had any response. Come on, you guys. Somebody out there. Do we have people out there in the field?
Hey, Joe, I thought it was great. I appreciate you doing this very much.
Yeah. Do you like the languaging? Did you like it as much as I did?
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, and gave you some ideas, right? Is it getting you, like, juiced up that maybe this is, you can see where maybe you haven't been using this, so maybe that's one of the reasons you haven't been as effective?
Definitely.
Yeah. Great. Good. Anyone else? Because, you know, some people go, well, Mary Jo, that's not my style. She says, I'm just very forward and very demanding, and I get people responding that way. And I say, well, when you're hardline like that, how long does the commitment work? You're getting people to do things just because you're so strong instead of because it's their idea to do it.
Hello, Mary Jo?
Yeah.
I find it very interesting, and the soft sell is very, those phrases are good.
Yeah, aren't they? They're just good. And they're fun, too. They're not just good, they're fun. I mean, you can have fun with them. You can go out and just, you know, really.
That's what we want more of in our lives, is more fun.
That's exactly what I say, too. I agree. All right. Well, let's use those phrases. Let's get that down, okay? Anyone else? Any other comment?
Quick comment, Mary Jo. I can use this on a lot of this in relationship with husband and children and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. How many times do we try, because what happens with husband and children is we have so much emotion tied into it, we have this immediate direct response. Hey, I'm as guilty as anyone. Man, my husband does something, I'm like, you know, I mean, immediate direct response, because we don't think before we speak a lot, and we respond based on the emotional commitment, and we have so much tied into them. But the reality is if we use this softer approach, like, you know what, when you made that decision, what could that really have meant for you? What is this, you know, what is this really, I mean, you can just see how you can just be softer. You can just, you open up them to think and respond, and it becomes their ideas. You may be thinking about this. So what does this mean for you, for your life? I mean, can you imagine saying that to a kid who just got in trouble at school? Well, so what does this mean to you? What is this really, how is this going to impact you? So what is this all about for you? You know what I mean? It's more, it's so, instead of lecturing, we're coming across as, I want to know about you. Because each of them is directed at the other person. Yeah. Great.
It's almost like you're connecting to the thoughts behind their words.
There you go.
You're like getting into them.
Inside them, instead of just staying at the superficial level, which we know that's what words are about.
Yeah. Now, thanks, Mary Jo.
Great comment too. And I think we stay at the word level because it's safe. Does that make sense to some of you? We find it safer. And I'm just saying, let's quit being so safe and ineffective. I have a lot of people in my life that just love to be liked. So they go out there, are people who love to be liked. And they're convicted around that they just spend their whole life being safe. And I go, you're never going to touch a person's life. You're never going to impact them because you're staying in safe. So let's start getting a little bit out of that safe and get rid of just hanging on there, just these words, but start using languaging that allows us to get behind into their people's thinking, into their thought processes. Yeah, because that's really where you conquer it. That's where you really make a difference. No. Okay, people, love you all. Have a great week. Let's have a blast. Next week we're going to be in Atlanta, so I don't know what we're going to do for our Monday call, but we're working on it, so keep your ears and eyes open. We'll send an email out this week to let you know. I heard Al did a fantastic job last week, and I just thank him immensely for being there for us when we need him. So anyway, love you guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
You're welcome.